Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in to yet another wonderful program. We got a great episode coming up for you right now. You may have heard of this guy. Forbes just listed him as the most successful comedian, I think, of all time. It's Russell Peters. People, this guy has set records, attendance records, for a comedian's performance of all time, selling out the Toronto's Air Canada Center. In 2009, he set a sales record in London for the most tickets sold for a stand-up show. And in 2010, he set a record for attracting the largest audience in Australia for a stand-up comedy show. This guy kills it on all levels. He's a great dude. He's been doing stand-up 25 years. He's known for being a global comic. He's huge in Bombay, India, in Dubai, in Sri Lanka, in Singapore, in Chile, in Korea. He's about to go to the Philippines for the first time. This motherfucker, his comedy translates globally. And people say he's not big in the States, but that's not true. He just sold the Barclays Center in New Jersey, and he's about to go on another U.S. tour. And he was kind enough to let us come to his green room after the first of a week-long show run at the Ontario Improv. And we got a nice little raw, in-depth interview with him right after he got off stage. And, of course, you can hear all the episodes of the About Last Night podcast on our website, aboutlastnightpodcast.com. You can hear past guests like Bob Saget, Kevin Nealon, Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Dane Cook, Whitney Cummings, Jaleel White, Harlan Williams, the cast of Workaholics. The hits keep coming. We got more amazing guests coming up. Emile Hirsch, who's about to play John Belushi in the biopic based on his life. Adam Carolla, Melissa McCarthy. Working on some other big ones that I can't say because I don't want to jinx them, but we know you guys are going to enjoy, and we love that you rate and subscribe, comment on the podcast on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating. All that shit helps. We love that you guys tweet at us, hashtag About Last Night. All the interactions with you, the viewers, makes it fun to do, and we got some great shows coming your way. So continue to listen. Pass on the website, aboutlastnightpodcast.com. And when you shop on Amazon, hey, go to aboutlastnightpodcast.com. There's an Amazon banner there. Click on that banner. Give us a couple coins. We get a couple coins from you shopping on Amazon through our website, aboutlastnightpodcast.com. And guess what? We can collect coins and get so many coins that we can put a bunch of coins into a vault and eventually swim in them like Scrooge McDuck. Because, hey, let's all be honest. At the end of the day, that's all we really want. Now, of course, Brad and I are on the road. Brad on Twitter at FunnyBrad. His tour dates at BradWilliamsComedy.com. That little guy is going to be at the Comedy Club on State March 27th through the 29th in Madison, Wisconsin. I just had a stroke. April 3rd through the 6th, Brad's going to be at the Improv in Tampa. And April 11th and 12th, Brad will be at Aces Comedy Club in Murrieta, California. So check out Brad at those comedy clubs. I am on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. My website, AdamRayTV.com, is where you can find all my tour dates. And of course, pick up my new album, Pop-Tart Suicide, that just dropped on iTunes. It's a great album. I recorded at the Tacoma Comedy Club in Tacoma, Washington. Very proud of it. There's a little bonus song on there, too. I think you're really going to dig it. And of course, I will be at the Big Sky Comedy Club in Missoula, Montana, April 3rd, 4th, and 5th. I'll be headlining the Irvine Improv in Irvine, California, April 9th at 8 p.m. The Fox Theater, I'll be headlining in Centralia, Washington, April 12th. April 16th, I'll be headlining the Madhouse Comedy Club in San Diego. And of course, April 21st through the 27th, I'm headlining the Laugh Factory in Las Vegas at the Tropicana Casino. So fired up. My name is going to be in lights. It's amazing. Come out for a week of drinking, comedy, and craziness. Because you know what happens in Vegas? Stays in Vegas. So, don't know who that was. And my Craig Ferguson appearance has a date. It is April 10th, 12:35 a.m. Craig Ferguson, CBS. The guest that night is Morgan Freeman, and that's going to be incredible. Craig Ferguson, Morgan Freeman, and the comedy of Adam Ray. I wish I could tell you that episode would not be incredible, but it's going to be incredible. Pick up his album, Pop-Tart Suicide. Ferguson says my album on the show, Pop-Tart Suicide, which is amazing. I wish Morgan Freeman would say it. That would be, I mean, that's, I don't have a bucket list yet, but I think when I do, that's going to be it. Again, subscribe on iTunes to the podcast. Tell your friends, pass on the links. Tell them how great the show is. Tell them how great our guests are. Tell them how short Brad is. Tell them how Jewish Adam is. Tell them to go see us live. Tell them our websites. But for now, shut up. so that you can listen to an amazing episode of the About Last Night podcast with Mr. Russell Peters.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to a dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
See, we normally like just start talking, and we don't really have like a bona fide intro, so we're not quite sure. Because now we have an audience back here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, first of all, I'd say we're live at the Ontario Improv.
We are,
which is a big deal. It's also a big deal because I think our guest is doing 52 shows this week.
Yeah, right.
Is that how many? We're starting on Tuesday because you just told us you're a judge on Last Comic Standing.
It's true, I am.
Are you? Do you want to?
I sure hope this information gets out before this podcast does.
Are you excited about that?
I'm very excited about that.
Do you know who the other judges are with you?
I do. Keenan Ivory Wayans.
That's incredible.
And Roseanne.
No kidding.
Wow. So I'm kind of the low man on the totem pole, really.
Well, in whose eyes?
They both have. Keenan had a groundbreaking television show in the 89-90.
Yeah.
And Roseanne had a hit sitcom in the 90s when it mattered.
And you sold out the continent of Australia.
That's fine. But, you know, I still don't have the cachet that they have.
Well, I mean, that's going to be awesome because so many comics look up to you. And now you'll get to face-to-face drop some...
That's the funny thing is I think I know a bunch of the comics on the show. So it's kind of a...
Geraldo mentioned about that being kind of weird. He was like, he couldn't be mean, he said, because he's like, I know like almost all of these guys, and I can't tell them like, you know, really give them harsh criticism, but you'll find a way.
Yeah, I know. I mean...
What are you going to tell Brad when he shows up?
Are you on it?
You're too small,
oh, God,
kid.
No. No, yeah. I'll
not enough forehead.
Yeah.
Oh, they're all. Hey,
you only did 4 minutes. You went short.
Oh, damn it!
Yeah, you have to. Watch.
I can't say that in front of Brad. No, but that's got to be a trip when you know the comics and you know their act and you've seen them kill, you know what they're capable of, and now you got a producer going, tell him he sucks or tell him why you're going
to
make it.
No, that's the good thing. They've made it a point to let us know that. They want us to encourage the comics. Mm-hmm. And that's good news. They don't want it to be a shit show. They want it to be a good show.
There you go. Now you just got done doing a show at the Ontario Improv, and but you don't normally do clubs. But you're doing this to like get the new act together.
Yeah, I always go club runs when I'm writing a new act. So and I write. I don't physically write anything. I don't sit down and write. I'm too lazy for that. So.
You were just saying you write on stage a lot.
Yeah, I write on stage, and that's how I come up with, like, this stuff you heard me do tonight was all over the past 4.5 weeks was just me talking to the audience, and that's all the stuff that came across as material. That's how it came up.
But you have even, like, a seed of, like, that topic to...
No, I go up literally with zero.
Wow. And you try to that pull some information, all, like, or you see something
in the
crowd.
Yeah, I just talk...
Oh, that's a giant phone. Hey, phones are crazy. That's I mean, it's better than that. But
that's
yes.
how it just happens. Exactly like that.
And just like that takes so much courage to do because at your level, people are coming out. This is their, like, people save up and this is their event. They're coming to see you as an event. And you're just like, wing it.
Yeah, relationships are making or breaking during your show.
Yeah, you know, that's how it is. I thought you said he was good and polished. Well, you caught me in midweek before I went to the nail salon.
How did you spend time? Obviously, you do several different accents and cultures in your act. Do you ever spend time working on them or no?
No, it either happens or it doesn't happen. It was something I never ever focused on. It just kind of
as a part of like telling a story or
yeah, it just kind of happened. And then people are like, oh my god, that was so accurate, or that was exactly how it was. And I go, really? All right, cool. Like I'll keep that. And then. Oh, we don't sound like that. Okay, I'll lose that. You know what I mean?
So there's not. So if somebody were to say like, "What's your best? Like, what's your best accent?"
People always ask me that. What's your favorite accent to do? And I go, "Well, what you're really asking
one that
is,
works.
Are you hoping I say what's your favorite accent that you like to hear?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And will you do it for me? Yeah,
yeah.
But I mean, but you do so many, and there's and they're accurate because I mean, a lot of comics if they do a Chinese accent, they do something that doesn't sound anything like an actual Chinese accent.
Yeah, it's their. It's their cartoonish version of what they think Chinese people should sound like.
Right.
But that's actually their racist undertone.
Just like stuff like that. Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, it's terrible. But then you can do not only a Chinese accent, but you do like the Mandarin accent, and then you do another area
Cantonese
of China. Yeah.
And Filipinos and the Koreans, and you know, they all have their own voice.
Any Jewish Filipinos in there?
I don't know that there's a lot of Julipinos.
All right. Well, maybe the next special.
You know, I think we got the Jews covered in this in this business already.
Touche.
Is that do you think that's one of the reasons why your popularity is just so insane is that you do cover these groups and do it so well that a lot of comics either sort of brush over or don't talk about it at all?
Yeah, well, I think there's a few schools of thought there that. There's one thought that in America it's black and white. Mm-hmm. You're either black or you're either white. There's nobody in between.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I kind of service everybody that's in between. And there's at the end of the day, there's a lot more people in between. If you added up all the white people and all the black people in the world, you just go to Asia and we outnumber you right away.
Yeah.
And that's just India.
You go to India
and
alone.
China.
Right.
And that's not even including the rest of Asia. You know what I mean?
Did you make a conscious effort to have a broader appeal like that, or did you?
No,
start
I
off?
Just always I growing up, when I started doing stand-up, when I started doing stand-up in 1989, it was just black or white. Mm-hmm. And my dad told me
that was like
everything.
Right when Def Jam was coming out, too, right?
And that's when Def Jam was coming up, and then...
Black people do this, white people do this.
No, but Def Jam was so good back then.
We read us two for two with the racist accents. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm firing away here.
Yeah, you're doing great, Brett. Are you even standing up right now?
I can't. I am on my knees.
You are on your knees, aren't you?
Yeah, I am on my knees.
This is the most bizarre thing. Why do we have a little person on their knees?
Because my iPad's right here.
Can you stand up and show them how much actually you'll...
Like half a foot.
way to take height off of that thing, huh?
Yeah.
This is a great visual joke for the podcast listeners.
So your dad would, you were saying your dad.
My dad used to tell me that he used to tell me that there's nobody in this business that's like us. We don't, this is not for, like every reason he gave me as to why I wouldn't make it was every reason I said I would make it because there is nobody like me.
Yeah.
We need a voice.
Right.
You're not going to strive for anything if you don't have something to strive for.
Right.
And it wasn't like I was trying to create this whole statement. It was just kind of like, I just wanted to be a comic. I didn't know that it would be.
So he didn't say, you need to sell out like fucking, Australia and Bombay. No,
he never said that.
Because that's not even in your realm, is it?
No, as far as my dad dealt with a lot of racism when he moved to Canada in the 60s. And then I dealt with a lot of racism in the 70s and 80s. And then he just didn't want me to get hurt. You know what I mean?
What kind of racism in the 70s and
80s? A lot of, like, in America, I guess, black people were the brunt of the racism or whatever. And in Canada, the Indian people were. So.
No shit.
And we're a much softer, easier target. You know what I mean?
What kind of racism?
Like, they would first verbally and physically abuse you. Like, I would
really
like get called names, get spit on, get kicked.
No shit.
That's why I started boxing when I was 15, and it never happened again.
Wow!
When I learned how to fight. Nobody ever
was there. One who was. Do you still remember the guy that was caught the first taste of? He didn't know your training prior.
One guy kept seeing me in the hallway and kept calling me fag every time he would see me, mm-hmm. and I was like, "What is this guy's problem?" And then I was going to the bathroom during class, and I was in the hallway, and it was just him and me. And I saw
Shit showdown.
And I slammed him up against the locker and went bam right in his ribs with the left hook.
Shit.
And I cracked his ribs. And I went to the bathroom and I went back to class and never said a word. And then his mom came to the school the next day. This guy cracked my son's ribs. And I'm like, he shouldn't call everybody fag.
Boom. And what did they say to that? Yeah, just
nothing. They didn't.
Yeah, you're right.
Anything
he shouldn't.
About it.
That's awesome.
And then there was one kid who
have you seen that guy on Facebook recently?
Yeah, I think
fucking accept his friend request and send us a picture of you doing the fucking.
I actually committed suicide like last 2 years ago.
Oh shit! Fuck out of here.
It was so weird. I saw like his sister in the mall. And I was like, "Hey, how's your brother?" Oh, you didn't hear? And I'm like,
"Oh, that's never a good sign."
And I felt really bad about breaking his ribs. And I'm like, "Come on, if you come back, I won't."
Did he leave a note in the locker that you slammed him up against?
Yeah, right. He hung himself in the locker. It was sad.
Jeez.
It was sad because he was 6'1" and he was taller than the locker.
I'll take problems I'll never have for $1,000, Alex.
Wait, so, but like in India, like Raj Sharma, a good buddy of mine, just.
I know Raj.
Yeah, he just went with you. And he was telling me to, he's like, they treated him, he said, like a fucking, like a prince.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but I only know how they treat me. Yeah. And that's like a king.
But
so,
at what point in doing this is that like a feasible option to even go there and do comedy? Or was that like
Well, I mean, for like, because I've been doing this 25 years now, it's possible for guys like Raj and Rajiv and everybody else named with the Raj in their name.
Yeah, the J in the middle.
It's possible for them to go to India now, and Indians are now aware of what stand-up is.
And you take responsibility for that.
I don't want to take responsibility for it, but I will say I had a hand in it somehow.
Sure.
In Malaysia, they didn't know what stand-up comedy was at all. Then they saw my clips.
That's so crazy to me to not even have. But I guess even in the day of internet, there's just not...
Yeah, now they know what it is now, but they didn't know it was called stand-up comedy, and they called it that thing that Russell Peters does.
Oh, that, by the way, is a crazy level of fame.
Tom Rhodes told me that.
No
that
shit.
That thing that you do is what... Holy...
So like, I want to do what he does.
So like he's being a Russell Peters is like he's being a stand-up comic.
Yeah. That's like not knowing what basketball is and be like, you know that thing that Kobe guy. Does. Yeah, that dribbler. Yeah. That Kobe, he does it on a court for money. Yeah.
You're a verb now, Russell.
I am a verb.
That's pretty cool.
I went from a herb to a verb.
I feel like we should end the podcast on that. Is there a favorite place that you have that you... continent or country that you...
I would say South Africa was my first favorite place. That was the first place I ever felt like I could be a star, or I could make a, like, I could be something.
Where the animals took notice.
It's where the animals... There's not that... See, that's the thing. You're picturing just Africa, the Serengeti.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, South Africa is just a metropolis.
Yeah. It's gorgeous.
It like, is. It's awesome.
What U.S. city I want to go so badly.
It's awesome. You're a Jew. You'll fit in.
Thank you. I'm assuming based on me bringing up Judaism is what you knew, or is there
well,
something about me?
Adam.
Yeah.
it's funny because we actually all, the day I met Adam was the day I met you. You judged a comedy
eHarmony convention.
Oh, I remember that at USC.
Yeah.
You know, I was in that.
Were you in that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, why would you remember? Yeah. It was years ago. You meet
me, Jeff Ross.
Mm-hmm. We were trying to figure out the third judge.
I can't remember either.
I think someone backed out, but you guys came and you judged students who had been doing comedy for like 6 months.
Adam Sussman.
Dude, love that guy.
Wow. Still keep in touch with him?
I haven't heard from him in a
while. He now is like, you know, working another Jew.
Yeah, he's a really sweet kid.
He's the best. And he loves comedy like probably more than we love it.
He's a really awesome person. Yeah. I like him.
Yeah, so that was a revolutionary day.
Had you done any like judging? Because that was a huge deal to us. Like you guys being there was, I mean, I would have been doing stand-up maybe a year. Had no business being in that competition.
You know, I kind of do remember you now.
For sure. I think I had to go first.
You know what I remember about you? Is that you had this...
This great hair.
Well, you do have great hair.
Killer voice.
Let's not ignore the facts.
Soft eyes.
Remember you had this undeserving
we can stop
confidence.
There. Yeah, for sure.
And I was like...
That comes from my theater background. I was comfortable on that stage. And it was my alma mater.
Yeah, so I sensed that right
away. You didn't like me, yeah. I can't remember what exactly you said, but you said something that was to the extent of... Fuck you, Jew. It wasn't exactly that, but it was like, it was something along the lines of like, you didn't give me a compliment because you were the first guy to give feedback. Because you remember we would do a set 5 minutes and then you would have to give feedback.
Oh, I think I said, how do you think you did?
I think that's probably exactly what you said.
Wow.
And I think I said like, okay. But again, I wanted to give a mildly confident answer. So considering the circumstances, I think I did quite well, Mr. Peters.
That's what I always like to ask comics. You can keep it open, Dylan, because it's hot as balls in here.
Yeah,
there you go.
Brad's head is like fucking Jupiter.
It's consuming all the...
It does have its own gravitational pull. That fly is in orbit right now.
But will you do... But in the terms of doing like judging a competition, like how many... And now you're going to do for Last Comic, but like will you go speak for... speak to young comics or other...
I mean, you know, I really don't know the details on it yet. They're not being very forthcoming too soon.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure I'll figure it out as it happens. They're going to give me, it's like a trickle, you know, it's kind of like snippets they give you a little bit every day.
Mm-hmm. But do you enjoy, like, at the point you're at, like, even embarking any sort of knowledge? Brad was telling me you said earlier that you were telling him how, like, lucky you felt. So I'm curious if, like, but you also know, like, obviously looking at your track record, that you do know what the fuck you're doing. So to be able to, like, look at a young comic and go, yeah, there's actually some things that I have to say that...
Yeah, I mean, probably... I think I'm pretty good at finding... My whole mission is to find out what really... what their motivation is when they get on stage.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? A lot of people see, like, the money and the glamour and glitz, and I'm like, well, that's your motivation.
It's not
going
to go... Yeah, it's... Yeah.
My motivation was always just, I want to make these people laugh.
Yeah, always.
Mine was just a desperate need to be liked. That's all it is, and it still is. I just don't want anybody to hate me when they leave here.
Oh, shit.
I want them to be like, he made fun of me, and I loved it.
every person.
We're doing a great job. I mean, you talked about a guy's head for a good 10 minutes and how big it was. And, yeah, he's going to go back and tell his friends, oh, my God, Russell Peters made fun of me.
Yeah.
This is great.
He made fun of my head.
He had the kind of accent that when you imitate it, you think you're joking. He had that like hard like stare. Yeah, like,
that's why I even had to say, I was like, I'm not making this accent up. This is really how he answered me.
I don't even want to do like. I mean, obviously you have a lockdown on that accent, but the first time I came into awareness of you as a comic was an Indian buddy of mine who was like, I just saw this video of Russell Peters on YouTube.
Accent? Yeah. Why did you know him?
Why did I know him? Because I went to high school with him. I played basketball with him. His name was Sunni.
My parents.
His name was Sunni Singh. He played basketball.
Sunni Singh.
Sunni Singh. But that YouTube, that's, I mean, there's a, right? That's a piece of.
Is that like.
What star the Russell Peters train?
That is. I shot that special in August of 2003. It first aired on February 15th, 2004.
Nice.
And then that was the year that everything changed.
Because YouTube. Also, I think at just
June of 2004.
Oh shit!
Wow. And like, what was your first indication that holy shit, something's happening here?
Well, I did a gig at DePaul University in Chicago on February 13th. I remember this clearly. They paid me $700, and 13 people came to the show.
You'll never
forget.
And
I still
that.
Went up, and I did like an hour and 15.
Crushed.
Well, I was like, they came.
How do you feel you did?
I actually really had a good time up there. Because I kind of, I was like, it's 13 people, but you know what? I hadn't played the stage much.
Yeah.
And I was like, I looked at it as, this is an opportunity. You know, if you can, just do it. Do your job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then, so that was February 13, 2004 in Chicago. 13 people, $700. Then I went back in November of 2004 and sold out some theater for like three nights.
What?
For like something like like $30,000-$40,000.
Wow.
And I was like, something happened.
you still didn't have any idea at that point?
I knew the people. I couldn't
some of these
it
videos,
out.
I think people.
I was not, I'm still, like I said, I'm not computer savvy. So I didn't know about YouTube. I didn't know about file sharing. I didn't know about any of that stuff.
You didn't know that, like, send me the link was like not like a dirty term. Yeah.
And then like people are splicing
I was looking at BearShare and LimeWire.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Right. Maybe a little Napster in there?
Yeah, no Napster.
Jesus,
BearShare and LimeWire.
So when you go back to that theater, dude, are you seeing some people that like the same who came to that show?
I go back to Chicago now. Yeah, I was here when you were. You know.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
it's insane to have those fans that now. But you're that guy now. You're the kind of comic where people will come to see you not only every time you're in town, but they'll travel miles to see you. And
yeah, I've
and
had some
sometimes
crazy
time zones.
Yeah.
Some crazy.
Like when I was in London, I got people from Greece and Italy and Russia showing up. Because they're like, well, you're never coming to Greece, Italy, or Russia.
Jesus.
So we'll come to you.
So this is the closest. And when do you say, yeah, let's try to do the O2 Arena in London?
I like to build, so I'll do like a theater. We'll see how many nights I do the theater, how many nights it sells out. Do the math, and I'm like, yeah, let's try one shot in this big one.
Go bigger.
Yeah.
Are you concerned that the YouTube is like what helped... I'll blow you up, but are you concerned?
I'm not concerned about it.
No, but this day and age, like the amount, like now that YouTube is much different than what it was.
My fear now is, you know, well, not so much a fear. We police it pretty diligently, people trying to record at the shows. Because, you know, I am in the middle of working things out. And, you know, if a half-assed piece of work goes on the internet,
yeah,
and you go to do it and they're like, we saw it on the internet, it sucked then, it sucked now. You know, you don't get a chance to really work on it.
Yeah. At your level, there's a lot more eyes on
way more scrutiny.
Yeah.
Sure, and your fans are constantly wanting new content from you, so there is the need of that, and so there are people that are on YouTube almost every day, like typing in, you know, Russell Peters stand up, then seeing what pops up. So do you have like security walk around clubs or
clubs, arenas, theaters, anywhere?
It's weird that as comics, we're not. Like we have to work out. Like we're not in the studio playing notes, and then when it's ready, we can go out on stage.
Yeah.
Like in order to work it out, we have to do it in front of people. There has to be that audition process.
Yeah, comedians work backwards than the way musicians work. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just take
a musician
right out there.
Yeah, a musician will go in the studio, record an album, and then tour.
just do what they do.
The minute the album comes out, they tour. The minute our special comes out, we stop.
Right.
Because all right, now we got to go back to the drawing board.
So when did you stop? So what you did tonight, like how much?
My tour ended on November 2nd in Sri Lanka.
Of course,
the notorious tour.
Yeah, mine ended in fucking Burbank last January.
Just like Sri Lanka.
Yeah.
Only with less Sri Lankans.
In all seriousness, what's like one giant difference between Sri Lanka and Burbank?
What's one giant difference?
Sure.
Sri Lanka's hotter.
There you go.
And tigers probably.
Yeah, that's a deal.
I wonder if they have tigers on that island.
They've got animatronic tigers at Universal Studios.
Yeah, sure they do.
Yeah, close enough.
I mean, when one phrase that is constantly thrown around is comics.
We'll take a break.
There, what's happening?
We stop for a minute. Yeah,
hang out.
Want to stop?
Huh? No, stop. We'll record.
Okay, cool. Okay. I had something. Oh yeah, one phrase that comics say a lot is. Funny is funny. What works here will work anywhere. But you like
who says that?
Comics.
Say that again.
Comics say funny is funny. Like what works in front of a black audience will work in front of the white audience. Right. Works in Des Moines will work in Florida. But you take that to a completely other level. Like you're going.
Yeah, I mean, people,
you're going different countries.
People just assume when they say stuff like Des Moines and Florida and whatever. Mm-hmm. All they're doing is naming off different places in America.
Right.
I don't look at it regionally like that. I look at it on a global scale. So I'm like, this works in America. It might not even work in Canada.
Wow.
And Canada's attached to you, and we understand everything you do. Mm-hmm. But there's certain things that happen here that we go, yeah, that's a very American thing.
So when you do a show in Singapore,
so when I write a joke, yeah. Like some people be like,
you're not writing it for like, I hope this joke hits on all these places that I have a mass following in. No,
yeah, like there's jokes in my act that are in right now that I will never be able to do outside of America,
right?
Like the diabetes joke that'll never,
because someone in Sri Lanka may
it's not
going to
work in
Wilford Brimley.
Someone in Canada,
it's not going to work in Singapore with that attitude.
Yeah.
But maybe if you have a little,
if I sell it a little bit better,
yeah. But no, there. But on a smaller scale, obviously, like we were just talking about, like if we go to like Minnesota or Alabama, like yeah, there's some stuff that's like geographically specific that like we would do there that we wouldn't do elsewhere. But like when you go to Singapore for the first time, are you like doing some research and going, oh, I'm going to write some stuff specific to this area, or
do you gauge your act
you got to change certain things. You can make minor adjustments here and there, you know, but I write broad enough, I think, that, you know, like the technology stuff that I'm working on will work.
Right. That's
there's like such little things that I'll have to change. And you got to honestly look at it. I'm only 4.5 weeks into writing this act, and what you saw is 4.5 weeks worth of work. So,
yeah, and doing. I mean, how much of it do you love?
I love all of it right now. There's, you know, you get bored of your act a lot of times.
So when you're starting fresh in that first night, and you're starting fresh, what is like the first like? How do you? I mean,
I don't even know. I was just like, I told him, I was like, literally, the only honest, I got nothing. Let's see what happens.
Do you have any? Obviously, 25 years. I mean, is there any like crazy horror story? I mean, whether it's a heckler rushing the stage.
Well, no, you know, I'll be honest with you. Last
Sri Lanka.
Last Monday, literally last Monday, I was in London, England,
okay.
and I was on this show. I'm in the UK edition of GQ magazine.
It's a big deal.
The comedy issue.
Okay.
And so the GQ did this comedy night at the Hammersmith Apollo in London, a venue I've played. I sold it out for maybe 4 or 5 nights. Wow. And
do you get fresh and easy canned foods when you're in London?
I do.
Me too. I lived there for 5 months. And fresh and easy, if you don't know, listeners, is like the Chef Boyardee of London's canned foods.
Yep. I learned something today.
So all the comics in the – not all of them, but most of the comics in that issue,
yeah,
9 of them at least were on this show.
Wow.
And they were like, we want you to close. And I'm like, ugh. I've played England so many times. I know England very well.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
Like I know the people. And there's an undertone of racism that will never leave England. England might be the only place in the world where racism kind of makes sense. It's kind of like, well, we actually are visitors in their country.
Yeah.
However, we're kind of paying you back for fucking going everywhere else and ruining everything.
Yeah, that's it.
You know what I mean? But I wanted to go in the middle of the show, and they're like, we really love it. If you close the show, you close with a bang. And I'm like,
can't say no to that accent.
I know how this is going to end.
Closing with a bang is appealing.
Yeah.
But you don't,
No, that I walked
And
out,
did it end dude. How you thought?
They hated me from the second I walked
Shut
out.
Shut up.
Because it's not my crowd, first of all, right? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, because they're there more for the event.
Yeah, they're there
not
for the event.
For you and specifically.
Okay, so it's all British comics, first of all.
Right.
And all white ones.
And then
Indian in England still equals lesser than.
Right. because they still associate it with India and the
well, there's still there's like, you know, it's kind of like, who the fuck does he think he is?
Oh Jesus! Even in a modern day comedy crowd, they can't check that at the door.
They did not like me from the and I, you know, I was dressed nice. I figured it was GQ. I would dress nice.
That seems like a great call on your part.
Yeah, and all the comics dressed, you know, like scrubs. You know what I mean? They dressed however the fuck they wanted to dress,
which just didn't help your cause because now they're thinking you're coming in trying to like.
Yeah, I was wearing a red velvet jacket.
Oh shit!
With black pants and like
they're wearing like Alonzo Mourning, Charlotte Hornets jerseys.
I look fly out of pocket square.
Yeah, there you go.
Like if I was on a red carpet, I'd be like, that'd be like, what's he wearing?
yeah.
But I walked on them like, the fuck are you wearing?
Could you feel that like
immediately,
energy?
Immediately.
Because wow.
And
like
I was like, ooh, boy.
And then what do you do? Do you change your opening joke at that point?
Dude, it was, you know, I like to go into the audience. I like to start by, you know, and they just went silent when I started talking to them. I was like, and there was an Indian, there was some Indian people in the crowd. They were with me.
Yeah. Sure.
Seven of them.
So you focus on them.
Yeah, I focused on them, and then
people
you know,
don't.
I talk to people. I make fun of people. That's what I do.
Yeah,
and you know, people were saying things like, "Oh, we don't want to hear this." What did the one guy call me? Obnoxious racist. A white guy called me that. I'm like, sorry. What?
That's pot calling the kettle black. Yeah, you get fixated on stuff like that. I have a problem.
I do. I can't. That's why I can't. I hate Twitter and all that shit.
I'm at a point with crowd work where if I even hear like a little like I'll stop and go mid bit and go, wait, what was that? Like and address it because then I want to like.
I'm fragile, so I don't like to, you know. And then you know, there's this comedy website in England that.
FuckRussellPeters.com.
I don't
want to
give them any credit for like saying their name, but they've never liked me. They've never have. Like they've always shit on me for always. They've always shit on me. And they just posted this thing about how Russell Peters tanked at the GQ event.
Oh,
nobody else did. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Every other comic was fucking lame. They really were. Like they were there was a couple of people that were decent, but like one girl fucking played Living on a Prayer on her guitar, without changing the words, without making it funny. She was one of my favorite songs.
She just did. She just did karaoke.
Like, yeah, and I was like, "Are you shitting me?" She didn't even do a joke about it. It wasn't like, "Oh, you know, if I had to blah blah blah."
Yeah, right.
You should have followed up with Hanson's Umbop just to fucking one up her. That's the only way you can.
Yeah, and then you know, it just turned into a shit show after. I was like, and when I got off stage, all the comics that were talking to me before I went on stage, not one of them would even look at me when I walked off stage.
Oh, that's not a good feeling.
Like, it was like they all got a text message at the same time. Oh, shit.
It's crazy people don't think at this stage in your career that those shows are even plausible.
Like, and then, you know, some of them were twittering like about, ooh, he did.
Of course.
And then they were like appalled that I made a Malaysia Airlines joke. And I didn't even say, I just said, fuck, we can't find Malaysian Airlines. Where the fuck is Liam Neeson? That's what I said.
Which is a great joke.
It's hilarious.
It was timely because the movie was just out.
Right. Sure. He's in a movie about a plane and a crime. It's a perfect joke, but then just the fact that you bring it up and they
how dare
and,
he? Yeah. He's got no class.
And they already have those thoughts going in.
He needs to be reprimanded and shamed. I'm like, are you fuck yourself?
Now, in some of these in some of these countries, Brad told me that you were I don't know if it was pranked by the Prince of Jordan or
the King of Jordan pulled a trick on me, but that's an old story.
Is it?
You can catch that anywhere on the internet.
Can we? Yeah, you've been pranked by the King of Jordan. I know you've told me stories about your partying at like Prince's house. Is this just a constant state of holy crap? This is my life.
Every time something happens, I go. Like, okay, I'll give an example. New Year's Eve. I'm good friends with Nile Rodgers. Do you know who Nile Rodgers is?
Sounds familiar.
Well, he's written every fucking hit song you've ever heard in your life. He produced every hit song you've ever heard. Okay, so Good Times, La Freak,
We
Are Family, Greatest Dancer.
Kiss from a Rose?
No.
Suso Studio?
Come on, son. All
right. But you know, yeah.
Like a Virgin, Let's Dance.
Those are huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, Notorious.
He's that guy.
Daft Punk, he just won a Grammy, Grammys for Get Lucky.
Oh, so his career just hasn't stopped. He just keeps going.
Yeah, the guy's 60-something years old. Like,
from Like a Virgin to Get... That's fucking ridiculous. Well, it's range.
From Good Times to Let's Dance to, you know...
That's killing it.
The guy's killing it.
Yeah.
He did Love Shack for B-52s.
Did he really?
I mean, come on, this guy's...
I lost my virginity to that song.
They call him the hitmaker.
Well,
so
I jerked off to that song.
Was part of a band called Chic.
Yeah,
who I was a huge fan of in the '70s. Yep. They did Good Times and Let Freak Out and all that stuff. And I'm officially their DJ. I'm officially Sheik's DJ. So we do shows together where I'll scratch the beginning of Aw, Freak Out. Mm-hmm. And now we'll play the guitar riff and we battle each other while he plays the guitar riff and I scratch it in front of the audience. So New Year's Eve, I was like, what are you doing now? He goes, well, we got a show in Turks and Caicos if you want to come. So I went to Turks and Caicos with Sheik.
As you
if
do.
You want to come. Yeah, yeah, those sentences don't happen to everybody.
Yeah. So I went, and then Sheik performs, and while they're performing, they didn't have turntables, so I just went and hung out. And I'm standing off side stage, and Jon Bon Jovi's standing there. And he goes, Russell, what the fuck are you doing here?
What?
And I'm like, John!
Yeah. And had you met Bon Jovi before then?
I did. Was in New Year's Eve with Jon Bon Jovi.
Oh, right. That's right.
Yeah, it's funny, because the first day on set with Bon Jovi, we're standing in this kitchen about to shoot the scene, and we're waiting for Gary Marshall to yell action. Mm-hmm. And it's like literally just me and Jon Bon Jovi standing there. And it's really awkward because I just met him, and in my head, I'm going, holy shit, that's Jon Bon Jovi. Sure. That's so awesome. And, you know, you start thinking of all the songs. And
yeah, yeah.
So we're standing
and you
there
can't
waiting.
Just say that stuff. You yeah. have to have some
so
tact.
We're waiting and waiting, and we're just standing there. So just to break the tension, I just look at him, and I go like this. I go, hey, man, do you know that Johnny used to work on the docks? And without missing a beat, he goes, it was Tommy. And then you hear, action! Awesome. And then we had to start the scene.
Ah, dude, that is amazing. Awesome.
But he was the coolest guy. I gave him some DVDs and shit on set. And then he was watching him in his trailer, and he called me mm-hmm. to his trailer, and we were hanging out.
Do you tell a guy like that that you're – does he know you're a comic at that point? I mean,
yeah, he knows. Well, now okay, he knows because he's watched my DVDs by then.
But, I mean, before that, or do
no,
you even
I mean,
bring that
just,
up organically?
He was just a cool guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's just a cool guy. Like, you know, people go, that's a cool guy. That's – he's a fucking cool
sure.
guy.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then he introduced me to his wife and his kids, and I was like, wow, this is so cool. And then Prince shows up at the event. And then
same old,
so the
same
show
old.
Ends, and I'm in a room about this big, maybe a little bigger than this.
Right.
Niall, Prince, and Prince's girlfriend are sitting on this couch, and I'm sitting right here across from them in a chair. And we're just, they're talking, and I'm just interjecting here and there.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Prince was being cool as shit. And I was like, oh my God.
How so? Give me, like, what are his, like, cool demeanor?
Well, here's the thing. He's Prince with everybody else, but with Niall, he's a fan of Niall's. Because
wow.
Niall existed.
That's a great dynamic to right. experience. Yeah.
So, you know, Niall's telling me, yeah, you know, they're talking. And then I'm like, you know, I'm kind of drunk. So, and I'm like interjecting. And I told Prince, I go, you know, I was at your house one time and you invited me over and and you did like a 14-minute version of Controversy. And it goes, so awesome. And he goes, 14, that's it? I was having a short night. And I go, oh man, it was the best night ever.
Yeah.
I go, you went up in your elevator, did a costume change, and came back down while the song was playing. He did this in his
holy
house.
Shit. In his house?
In his house. And I'm like, it was so awesome. So anyway, he gets up to leave, and I'm like, I can't believe this. It's January 1st now, and I'm sitting in a room with Niall, Prince, and me. And so he gets up to leave, and he comes over, and I shake his hand. I go, hey, Happy New Year, brother. And and he turns to shake somebody else's hand, and I pull out my phone because mm-hmm. I'm thinking, I'm going to get a picture of me and Prince.
Fuck right. yeah. Drunk you have to.
Drunk
yeah.
Russell is saying, I'm going to get a picture of me and Prince. So I pull out my phone, right? And then as reality's kicking in, as I have this fucking fast conversation in my head because he's standing right there. I'm going to get a picture of me and Prince. And then as I pull out the phone, my head goes, he never takes pictures. You ever seen a picture of anybody with Prince? He doesn't
no.
take pictures.
Oh,
right?
No.
And I go,
you're
like this.
Cock block in your mind.
Yeah. And I go like this. I go, hey, do you think we could make a picture? I literally walked away and ate the words and put the phone back in my pocket. I never asked him because I know he doesn't
take
pictures.
By the way, he's telling this story to somebody else right now of you mumbling and walking away from him.
He's like, dearly beloved, I was gathered there one night with Russell Peters. You and he didn't want to take a picture, picture, picture.
Yeah, and you haven't seen him since, huh?
No, I haven't seen him. I mean, I've seen him this year, obviously, January 1st. Am I right, guys?
There you go.
Shit.
But
that's an amazing story.
One more thing I like about you is that, I mean, despite the fact that you're having these incredible experiences, that you still surround yourself, with family. I mean, your brother's your manager.
Yep.
Your security guys that you've known your entire life.
Yeah.
And, Did you do that on purpose just to like kind of keep people around you that you know
and keep
comfortable?
I think if you have to consciously do that, then you're faking it. But it's just, mm-hmm. I think you are who you are. And if you're going to be a dick, you're going to be a dick.
Right.
You know?
No matter
I think if you're a dick deep down inside, it'll just come out. You know what I mean?
There's a great series on Netflix right now that you did called Russell Peters versus the World.
Correct.
And there's one moment in particular that I wanted to ask you about. It was in the first episode, and you said that before you go on stage, you look up and you talk to your dad.
I do.
Who passed.
Yes.
And if you get a cold breeze of air.
No, I get like a chill. If I get a chill, mm-hmm. then I'm like, all right, there he is.
And then you feel good enough to go like yeah, feel like, all right, it's going to be a good show.
And if I don't get the chill, I'm like, where are you? Hello, I'm about to go on stage. You know,
how long are you looking through the show for that breeze after that or no?
No, and then I get off and I'm like, good job, thanks. You know?
Yeah.
And
I'm not a religious guy, but I'm a spiritual guy. You know, mm-hmm. I kind of think that the people who love you when they were here, when they die, they go on the other side and they look out for you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in anything.
Well,
else.
Your
anything
dad
written down by any human. I'm like, eh, too many holes in it.
Yeah.
Well,
too broad.
Were you ever religious at all?
I was raised Catholic, but okay. I believe nothing now.
But you're aware of all of the. I mean, how what's your vast of knowledge for each
religion?
Yeah.
Well, they're all man-made, so to me, I don't care about them.
Yeah.
And when people hang on to them, Jew.
Ooh. Hey, I was bar mitzvah. That's about it. I don't keep kosher.
No, but when they when people hang on to too much religion, I kind of look at it as a way of taking ownership of what you're actually doing.
Of course.
Because people will do something like, well, you know, I'll just pray for forgiveness.
Yeah. God maybe do it.
No, you did that.
Yeah, you did that, yeah.
No, you have to.
Isn't that crazy?
You have to live with that.
Yep. Yeah.
You have to have a conscience. It takes away accountability. I'm all about accountability. If I fuck up, I fuck up. I'll admit it.
Also, when it gets in the way of people actually like connecting on other levels because of like one
yeah,
thing
you know,
like
people like, oh well, he's this and I'm that. I'm like, yeah, you're just basically arguing about the Easter Bunny and Frosty the Snowman, really, as far as I'm concerned.
Which follow them both on Twitter at Easter Bunny and at Frosty the Snowman.
At Frosty, hilarious. The real Frosty the Snowman.
The real Frosty.
He's verified. That's hilarious.
He is.
He's got a frozen check mark.
Dude, thanks for making time for us.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah,
we could talk to you for a long time, but
appreciate you.
Doing
I appreciate
this.
It.
And your most recent special is available on Netflix.
The Notorious.
The which was shot in Australia.
It's Sydney, Australia, around 15,000-16,000 people.
And you do an amazing joke that I could not stop laughing at about someone giving you a forearm happy ending.
Oh, a wrist job.
A wrist job
in Thailand.
Is that a real story? Can
it
you
was
just
a genuinely real story?
Can you close on that?
Yeah, I went for a massage, and then they give you this bath, and while they're giving you the bath,
whoa,
they're,
what?
They're washing you.
By the way, if you can't see the forearm gesture he's doing right now.
Then they,
you
know, then
right
they start, you know, with the hand, and then the wrists. And I'm like, whoa, what's going on there? What was this all about? Where did this move come from?
Do they tell you about that or no?
No, they just do it.
They just do it. And you're like, what? You don't have wrist jobs where you're from? And you're in a bath, so you're super vulnerable.
Yeah, well, they're naked too, you know?
That's incredible. I think that's actually how Air Bud 17 started.
It is.
A cold open.
It's true. Operation Dumbo Drop 15.
Russell, thank
you. Do
you
have a Twitter, though?
Doing this, yeah.
I do at The Real Russell P. My tweets are lame, boring, and not funny.
That was my next question. I always ask
insightful.
People.
Really? They're horrible. I'm a horrible tweeter.
What do you tweet about?
I just dates here. I'll be here tonight. I'll be there tomorrow.
That's really funny.
And now and then I make do some sort of commentary on boxing or MMA fights.
What's one of your boxing tweets?
I don't know.
But like actual, like, you're not trying to be funny. You're actually like, oh, that was a, did you see that guy?
Yeah, you know, it'll be stuff like that. And like, you, if you're not into boxing, you'll be like, fuck is he talking about?
like me, I just said, one of your tweets would be, did you see that guy?
Yeah.
Like that.
It'll be just like that. Only more detailed. Did you see that guy with the gloves on?
You see him box? How great was
that? That guy
totally hit that other guy
in the face.
Oh, yeah. It was fucking awesome.
All right, so your tour dates are on your website.
Tour dates on the website. They are there. RussellPeters.com.
Perfect.
There you go. Yep. Russell, thank you so much for joining us, my friend.
Thank you, Bradley.
And thanks for the tequila.
Yeah.
Thank you, Adam.
Hey.
It's good tequila. Have some. Help yourself.
Thanks, buddy.
You're well.
Thanks, guys. Stay black.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.